princess. He says he belongs to me. When he's on the trail, I can follow his tail through the land of the wild country. He was born to roam the mountains, the prairie lands are free. He can go anywhere, run the fat from a bear, chase a bobcat to his mountain lair, or run him up a tree in the land of the wild country.
This is the story of a big, rangy, droop-eared dog named Savage Sam. It's also the story of his owner, Arliss Coates, a boy about 12 years old, his older brother, Travis, who was about 18, their mule, Jumper, their uncle, Beck, and their neighbors, the Searses, Bud and his daughter, Lisbeth, who was just Travis's age, and a band of wild, marauding Apache Indians. It all happened down on the Texas frontier many years ago. Mr. and Mrs. Coates had gone to San Antone because the boy's grandmother was very sick. Travis was left in charge, but he was finding that Arliss was pretty hard to handle.
What for breakfast?
Bacon and mush, and milk after you finish the milking.
Bacon and mush. Every morning in the world, it's bacon and mush. Why don't you cook something different once in a while than bacon and mush, like Mama does?
Because I'm not Mama, that's why. Now, you better go milk that cow.
Milk the dang cow. Get him, Sam!
It was all Sam's fault. But then what normal dog could resist going for cats? And if a cow got in the way, that was too bad. But cows have their pride, too. And this one charged Sam with horns low and tail high. Sam couldn't retreat, not with Arliss watching, so he fought back. And this involved 4 chickens, a turkey, several ducks, and a goose. Now, Travis heard the noise of battle and came running out.
I sent you out here to milk, not start a stampede.
I was milking.
Easy, girl. Acting like a 6-year-old, I ought to cut me a sprout and thrash your britches.
Guess you think you're the boss. Biggest papa, huh?
Well, papa left me in charge instead for you to do what I said. Now go calm that cow down and finish milking.
All right. Make me.
Wait till I get my hands on you. Arliss? Ow! Arliss! Ow! You quit checking me, you hear?
I hear!
Once Arliss got started rocking his brother, there was no defense except retreat. And in this case, Travis retreated to the outhouse. He would have been there yet if his Uncle Beck hadn't just happened to come riding by.
Say, what's going on? I could hear you hollering clean up on the next ridge. Oh, what you got treed there, Panther?
No, sir. Just Travis.
Travis? You mean your brother Travis?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll be doggone. What you rocking him for?
Well, dang it, he's getting too big for his britches. He's always bossing me around.
Oh. Telling you what you can do and what you can't, huh?
Yes, sir. He never lets me have a say about nothing. And he works me like a slave.
Well, I don't blame you for rocking him then.
You don't?
No, sir. If it was me, I wouldn't stand for it 1 minute either. Because I know what you're going through, Arliss, because your papa used to treat me exactly the same way when I was little. Ever, men of the day. Something like this. Beck, you go chop the wood. Beck, go fetch the horses. Beck, go slop the hogs. Beck, go milk the cow. That's why I wanted to kill him 1,000 times.
Oh, papa?
You betcha. Anything makes me killing mad. Some great big lazy overgrown boy working his poor little brother half to death. Let's get us some brass. We'll set fire to it and burn him right out of there.
Burn him out?
Sure. Be like smoking a possum out of a hollow log.
You mean do that to Travis?
Well, no, that wouldn't do neither. Nah. Dang fire's liable to spread and burn the whole place down. Well, here you go. Use this. Blast him out of there with that. Nah, it'll make some holes in that door you could pitch a dog through.
But that's Travis in there.
I know that, Arliss. That's what you've been telling me. Now, keep that arm steady, boy. Steady. See, now get that front side down. Make her sit right there in the middle of that groove. Remember, you gotta squeeze that trigger. You aim about a foot below the top of that door, and you're gonna catch him right smack between the eyes on the first shot.
You crazy or something? You think I want to kill my own brother?
Well, Lawrence, that's a general idea I got from the way he was whamming them rocks in there.
Well, I didn't aim to kill him.
But you kill squirrels with rocks, don't you? And you killed that big turkey gobbler with a rock, didn't you? Now, believe me, I'd just go wash the dirt out of that bucket and finish milking up the cow.
Yes, sir.
Uncle Beck's parting advice to Travis was for him to try and outfigure Arliss. So Travis tried, and it worked for a while. He had Arliss and Jumper helping him grub brush real sprightly. That is, until Sam caught wind of a bobcat and trailed off full speed after him. And Arliss, aboard Jumper, trailed off full speed into the brush after Sam. Now, Travis, in disgust, went back to the cabin, just in time to see neighbor Bud Searcy and Lisbeth ride up.
Engines! Engines raiding all over the place! Get your gun, boy! Get some bullets! Break out a fresh keg of powder!
Engines? Where? At Salt Licks?
Could be. But now they're liable to wipe out the whole settlement. Burning, killing, scalping, dragging poor screaming women off to a fate worse than death.
Elizabeth, honey, would you mind slipping down? This poor old pony is getting a mite winded.
Yes, Papa.
Well, who saw the Indians, Mr. Searcy?
Well, I don't know. Best I can learn is they struck a Loyal Valley last night. Old Wiley Krupp. He come up with 16 head of horses missing this morning. What's that I smell cooking, boy? Frijole beans?
But, Mr. Searcy, missing horses don't have to mean Indians. Horses can stray.
Well, not them horses. Krupp says Injuns got them. Told Tom McDougal they did.
But he didn't, for a fact, set eyes on them.
Wiley said it sounded like Injuns to him, and you know Wiley wouldn't tell a lie at all. Unless maybe there was a little money involved. Them beans are just about done, ain't they, boy? What's that dog after? Injuns?
Oh, Sam and Arliss trailing a bobcat.
Thunderation, boy. Don't you know no better than that? Letting a helpless young'un run footloose through them hills just swarming with savages? Why, them red devils are liable to haul up and sculpt that boy at any minute. Eat that dog, too, if you ain't watching. Injuns are partial to dog eating. If I was you, I'd go get 'em. Before we even bother to set a foot under that dinner table.
Well, it might not hurt to go get 'em.
Yeah, well, now, you just do that. Just do that. Elizabeth, honey, you might ought to water this poor old pony. Check him out a few ears of corn, too. Build back his strength a little.
Yes, Papa.
And while you're out there rounding up the young'un, I'll just be neighborly-like and go and look at them beans yarn. Be a crying shame if they's left to burn.
You know, about them Indians, that's mostly just scare talk, wasn't it?
Well, you know, Papa, always trying to make things bigger than they are. Sometimes, I wish he wouldn't, well, you know, go on so much.
Oh, that ain't your fault. Did you happen to hear just what Tom McDougal did say?
Well, now, yes. What he told Papa was that Mr. Krupp said if it were 10 years ago, he'd just bet it was Indians that stole those horses.
Yeah, that's about what I figured. It's been a long time since Patchy's come out of those high mountains on a raid. Well, still need to round up Arliss, though. I'm gonna finish that grubbing before sundown.
Would you care for a mite of company? I ain't seen a bobcat in some time. Close up, that is.
Well, yeah, sure, sure. Wouldn't hurt none to hang on to my belt. Make more sense of falling off. Listen, I think I hear Sam. He's right over yonder. Well, I don't hear him now.
Me neither.
Be real quiet. Well, listen. That's Jumper. There he is.
Go get him, Sam!
Arliss, you come out of there!
Not till we get the little bobcat, I ain't!
Now you leave that bobcat alone. You keep messing with him, he's liable to eat you alive.
He can't! I'm holding him up with a stick! Listen to him squall when I poke him!
Pesky Arliss. Trying to reason with him is like butting your head up against a stooping post oak. I better go in and get him.
Take him, Sam! Just kill him! That'll teach him to leave our chickens alone!
Arliss, you get out of there!
Why don't you leave go of me?
Until I get you out of here.
I ain't coming up till I'm done good and ready.
Well, you get good and ready, because you're coming out.
No, I ain't. Ow! You let go!
Hey, quit kicking me. All right, Arliss Cooch, you asked for it, and you're going to get it.
You know, I drive this coach, if I get free, I'm going to fix you good.
Hold it. Hold it!
It was a band of wild Apaches who, with blood-curdling screams, were herding 10 riderless horses down through the canyon. The minute they saw Travis, Lisbeth, and Arliss, they wheeled around and captured them. Arliss fought back fiercely. So did Savage Sam, but he was felled by a brutal blow from an Indian's war club. The captives were bound securely and mounted on horses were forced to join the Indian cavalcade. Up hills, down canyons, across plains they rode. Fording a river, Arliss saw his chance and managed almost to drown young warrior, the Apache who had clubbed Sam. He didn't quite make it, but the lone Comanche with the Apaches seemed impressed with his fearlessness. When the Indians made camp for the night, the captives were left to themselves while the Indians sat around their fires and gorged themselves. Finally, the Comanche got up and brought some of the meat over to the captives and untied them so they could eat. Arliss suddenly stood up and walked quietly over toward the Indians. Young warrior was sitting with his back to Arliss, so Arliss picked up a tree branch and calmly bashed young warrior over the head. All of the Indians, except young warrior, thought that this was very funny.
We should make the boy child a brave. Already he has more cunning than young warrior.
So, whooping and hollering, they tore most of Arliss's clothes off and painted him like an Indian. Then they put a headdress on him and did a ceremonial dance. Now, Arliss was furious, but there was nothing he could do. After the fun was over, the Indians tied up the captives once more and bedded down for the night.